Yo, 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 what's going on, guys? This is Dave Van Auken once again on the Fight Bananas podcast. Man, we getting it. We are bringing the biggest guest this last 2 weeks has been bananas, and we ain't stopping. You ready? One of the biggest names in all of mixed martial arts, maybe a guy that you might not even know behind the scenes, pulling the strings, making the moves, my main man, Malky Kawa. But guys, he's in the NFL scene. The biggest names of all mixed martial arts. We're talking Masvidal. We're talking Bones. We're talking Woodley. Yoel Romero, who just had a birthday. Big up, happy birthday. And how about a new client, Paige Van Zandt and her husband, Austin Vanderford. But guys, Malky Kawa is coming on the Fight Bananas podcast. All right, guys, jumping on the Fight Bananas hotline, my main man, Malky Kawa. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing good. We're blessed, man. Everything is, in a weird state. How are you? How is the family doing in this, hard times?
Everybody's doing great. I can't complain. Family's good. We're quarantined, doing our thing, hanging out, eating a lot. That's kind of basically all it is.
Right. So, I'm definitely up at least 8 to 10 pounds in the last 2 weeks. That's on the real talk. So how are you doing? You know, one of the biggest names, biggest agent, CEO, FRM, all that. How are you doing it? With this quarantine and everything's a little bit on pause, everything's on stop. How are you maintaining the momentum that you and FRM does have?
Well, first off, my man, let's start off this podcast, saying things the right way. The biggest CEO, the biggest company, the most powerful agency in the business.
Yes, sir.
Is who we are. It's not one of, it's we are. So I just want to make sure I point that out there. So all the people that are listening, we are the greatest and it's not even close. And as times like this continue to happen, it just continues to prove it. The momentum, obviously, is not just stopped. Everything that's gone on for not just me, but for everyone out there. So when you ask that question, you got to look at it. It's like, if we're not able to do anything, well, then obviously we can't do anything. But as far as, our momentum when it comes to just in general, I mean, this is not stopping anything. On the football side of stuff, we're doing great. Things are moving along there. On the MMA side of stuff, we're hoping the 18th goes through and then we can continue to move it along also as well. And, I think that once things start to, happen again, we'll get a bunch of fights going and it'll make things work. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course. There's so many things there I wanted to take, but let's just kind of hit on the thing. Probably broke around last week. A lot of moves talking about the momentum, how you said you're not stopping. Two new big agents, two big players now with FRM, Paige Van Zandt, her husband, Austin Vanderford. How did you guys get that together? And what do you see them going into this 2020 year?
Paige Van Zandt's obviously, one of the best fighters out there. One of the most marketable fighters out there. And, had been in some sort of situation with the previous management company. She felt like there were certain things that they were, she wasn't really getting. So she came on to us, reached out and contacted us through some of our clients and things of that nature. And then, we obviously were interested in that. And then, to my surprise, I didn't know who Austin was. Outside of him being her husband, right? As bad as that sounds.
Right.
But then I looked into Austin, man, what a beast that dude is. You know what I mean? So, we were really blessed to have them both individually and as a couple. So it was awesome and we're excited and I can't wait for this, cloud, the coronavirus is, to be gone so we can actually get to work for them. And I'm excited for them for the rest of this year and going into next year.
Absolutely, my man. And one thing I talked to your brother about actually a couple of days ago, he did a little Instagram live. It was his birthday, so shout out to your brother Abe with his birthday, is that you guys, I think, do better than anyone else. And then, tell me if I'm not wrong on this one. You guys do great with sponsorship deals outside of the game. You guys are so great with your clients, getting them great deals outside the octagon or outside the football field. So with Paige Van Zandt signing on with you guys, to me, it is a perfect marriage. Like Paige and FRM, that's just spaghetti and meatball, my man.
I agree with you on that. So it was my birthday, not Abraham's. The other day, it was my life. So it was me that...
You're right.
Sure you can bet either way. It's all good. The thing is that you see what we've been able to do with guys. Listen, whenever somebody gets to a certain point where, like, they're in demand, I think that's where we're kind of, like, the best, right? Like, where we're going to go above and beyond what the average is. The problem in MMA is that everybody's so desperate to get things done that a lot of times they'll take a lot less just because – There's a lot of desperation. You know, if you don't do this deal with this fighter, you can go to the next one. And so fighters will undercut themselves just to get a deal done. And, you know, I've told every single fighter I've ever signed, you know, if you're expecting me to do the deal for, you know, $1,000 to commission $200, I don't even bother me with it. Like, I'm not going to do it, you know?
Right, right.
So it gets to the point where, you know, you roll out of bed for things that really kind of get you excited. And so, you know, Paige VanZant, the opportunity on a marketing side, and also from a, you know, navigating her career on the fight side really is exciting. And it's like that for a lot of people that we represent. I mean, I'm just excited about, you know, the future because, it, you know, once this virus gets handled and we'll move forward, you'll see things, you know, that we'll do that'll also be, you know, stuff that people will want to talk about.
Right, right. You know what I mean? Right, absolutely, my man. You guys are always putting out big news, big names, big moves all the time. One thing you said there that I kind of want to hit on was, why do you think that? Why do you think that a lot of fighters take some stuff maybe on a bad, you know, bad deal, less money than they should? What, like, you know, we see people like Dak Prescott. You know, he's literally turning down $34 million a year times three. He's turning down money because he knows the big deal is coming. They have so much, I feel like, security or so much, I don't know what the right word is, Malk, but, like, why do you think that MMA fighters, UFC fighters, they should hold out maybe a little bit more for the right deal that, you know, you guys get them?
Well, because, I mean, I think that what happens is it all depends on who you listen to. And so, you know, one thing you've got to realize is we're not for everybody. Not everybody's going to want to be represented by us. Not everybody has good management. There's like, you know, one or two other guys that, you know, I can tell you that are pretty good at it and that they're always constantly pushing to get deals done and that go above and beyond just what the average guy does. For the most part, the rest of the guys kind of like, you know, just take whatever. So, you know, if you got a situation where your manager doesn't really know and you're in a, you know, tight bind because you're not Dak Prescott, you're not in the NFL, you're a brand new fighter who's 6-0 and you're getting paid 10-10. You know what I mean? Somebody comes to you and says, here, I'll do this deal for $2,000, and it's the greatest deal in the world to you because it's, you know, in your mind, $2,000 extra. It's like if somebody came to you and said, hey, you know, I'll give you $500 to post this sticker on your microphone. So when you do a video blog, you know, my sticker shows up. All right, cool. It's free $500. So you look at it. But if you knew that space was really worth $10,000 and you held out 3 more months, that $10,000 might come. It might not come.
Right.
And so you might look at it and say, well, I lost $1,500. Yeah, but if you do a deal for a whole year, and then that $10,000 does come 3 months from now.
Right.
Would you rather have that one deal for $10,000 or would you rather have 5 stickers all over the place? You know what I mean?
Of course.
You know what I mean? And that's, so it's kind of my philosophy. I just try not to do the deals that don't make sense. Now, there's guys that, you know, you really can't expect much for. So the sticker for $500 on their shorts, just like, you know, I'm giving the example of the microphone, might make sense, but it's not the thing. Like, I would rather, and I always tell guys, I'd rather you take nothing and just wait. Keep fighting, keep winning.
Right.
And that's kind of what we've done. So it's been my philosophy forever. I've been doing it that way for a long time. It's worked, and you know what I mean? And in some cases, it pisses people off. Sponsors get mad. Fighters get mad. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I just, you know, I know what I do and how I do it. And, you know, I've been right more times than I've been wrong.
Right.
That makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Your track record speaks for itself. To me, I hear a lot of quality versus quantity. People have that mixed up all the time. Like you said, you just, the one deal or the one fight, you know, outpays 4 or 5 bad fights or short notice fights that maybe don't make enough money. But I love that. Okay, we mentioned a couple times. I do want to hit on the football side. We'll go into 249. We'll go into, of course, Masvidal and Usman. We'll get into all that real quick in a second. But I love, every time I see you on the social media platforms a lot of football side, I see you at the U all the time down there, scouting, recruiting, getting stuff going. My main man, like D. Leonard, one of the great linebackers in the game today. You guys have a great, you know, stack of football players. What's kind of your mindset going future, you know, in the next year, you know, 20 months, 24 months on the football side of FRM?
That's big. Listen, football for us is real big. It's a passion of mine. I love it, and, you know, you just got to wait and see, you know what I mean? I'm not going to talk much about football.
Okay.
It's a completely different business, and for me to tell you what I'm planning on doing or how I'm doing it, it's a little different. Like, I'm not there. It's more, way more cutthroat. It's way more professional. So there's a whole lot of different things to football, but I can tell you that in the next 24 months, my plans are to make a lot of headlines for all the right reasons, and I just have a lot of clients that are going into contract years, and so I'm excited to see what happens this next year. Real excited to see what happens.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Okay, let's get into it. probably 36, 48 hours ago. It looks like maybe Khabib Nurmagomedov, it might be out. Last 10 hours, he might be in. Who knows? But, of course, the big name, Masvidal, threw his name out there through Twitter. Usman right away attacks him. What's going on? Who has the fight? Who's the big
name? No, I mean, listen, okay. What happened was is that no one threw out anything. You know, we were you know, under the impression that the fight was going on, right?
Like, yes, sir.
We didn't know that could be left. Now, I want you to remember that at this time, right, when this is all going on, Masvidal's not doing anything. He's not training. He's not doing anything. I mean, when I say he's not training, he's not in a fight camp. There isn't, you know, there's everything's closed. There's no going to the gym and getting four or five guys together. So, you know, he's running. He's doing his regular, you know, weightlifting that he has because he's got a, you know, really big house and has a really nice weight room and, you know, his own little thing there. So he's lifting weights. He's running or doing his stuff. And we get a phone call from the UFC saying that, you know, hey, we want to put, you know, potentially, you know, make the Masvidal-Usman fight happen on the 18th. And so, you know, my brother called Masvidal, and Masvidal immediately accepted the fight. Immediately, you know, made some points to us that we felt were relevant. And we went back to them and said, hey, look, here's what it is, and here's what we're going to need. The UFC said, okay, we'll let you know, but that's probably not going to work. And so they just left it alone. Next thing you know, Usman's on thing talking about, oh, you know, it's that he doesn't want to fight, and he turned it down and all that type of stuff. No, he didn't turn it down. Yes, he definitely wants to fight him. There were certain things that he asked for that the UFC, you know, thought that was too much. They, you know, certain numbers that they didn't like. And, you know, it was fine. It was cool. It was just a normal thing where, like, hey, if we can make it work, we will. If we can't, we can't. Now, I want you to realize, though, Usman had been helping Khabib in his live. People started DMing me his live because he was talking a lot of trash about
right.
this, that, and the other.
Right.
And when you look at it, what really had happened is he knew Khabib had left. So he's, you know, and he was already helping Khabib for that fight. So,
oh,
you know,
okay.
you're training, you're getting ready. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, let's pick this fight. Well, it didn't take much to get the fight going for Georgie. When they called us, we called him. You know, we had a long while where we were going back and forth just on our end, just as a team. And then when we called them back, we're like, oh, look, here's where it's at. And they said, okay, cool. And then just, you know, we'll let you know what's up and kind of said, you know, a lot of the stuff you guys are asking for or that Georgie wants is probably not going to happen. And it's not that type of card. So I said, okay, cool. Well, you let us know, right? And then so that's kind of really where it's been at. You know what I mean? That's really kind of what happened. So there was no ducking a fight or this fight or that fight. Now, what is a fact? What definitely have happened, what definitely is public to everyone, is that when New York came around, they asked Usman to do the same thing on 6 or 7 weeks' notice and to fight. Originally, first, they wanted him to fight, I think it was Kobe Covington. And Kobe started with some craziness.
Right.
And so they moved on to us, right? And we said yes, okay? Usman then said no. Then they offered Kobe to us. Kobe said no. Then they started telling us about Nate, and we said yes to Nate, and we accepted. We had accepted all three, like literally yes, yes, yes. There was
right.
no, you know, this, that, and the other, right? It was like, well, yes, we'll take that. Yes, we'll take this fight. Yes, we'll take this fight. Same exact thing that happened now. It's like, hey, listen, we're thinking about making this fight. Okay, yes, we're in. Okay, here's what it is, and we're gonna need this and that. Now, understand, like a lot of people don't get it. Like the way the UFC operates, they'll call us and they'll say, hey, we want this fight to happen. Now, we'll call our clients. Clients will be like, hey, look, man, I'm either, yeah, let's fuck yeah, let's do it. Or they'll say, no, I don't want to do it, right? I'm
right.
not in shape. I'm not going to make the weight. There's a lot of different things. I'm not healthy, you know what I mean, or whatever it might be. So there's certain situations where, you know what I mean, fights don't happen, not because the guy is scared, you know what I mean? It's because there's other factors that might have done it. One of them also is money. 9 out of 10 times, if one of our clients doesn't take a fight, especially on either short notice or something like that, we could not come to an agreement with the UFC on the money.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And so that's the reality of a lot of the stuff that doesn't go right. Now, if you look at it, I think I have a 97% success rate in getting fights done with the UFC. Every now and then you'll get some craziness and things don't work out. And then when they don't work out, they don't work out. You know, that's just how it is.
Right.
And
right.
So everybody's, you know, oh, he's ducking me. He's like, no, he's not ducking you. He's not ducking you. When you wanted to make more money against whoever it was that you had to fight, right? I support that. When, you know, this guy says, hey, I'm not fighting this guy unless I get paid X, I support that. Now, when a guy says, hey, I want to get $20 million and you're a zero, that's, you know, stupid. And so then there, you don't support it. But, you know, if I see, if, you know, Kamaru would have came out and said, hey, man, look, I wanted to take the fight, but, you know, I want $25 million to fight George Masvidal. All right, you might be a little, you know, out of your mind, but you can't be mad at somebody for asking for more money.
Sure.
And so sure. That's the issue. You know what I mean? Against Georgie, you know what I mean? The first time he had been angling for a new deal the whole entire time. So I'm not going to take anything away from him from that aspect. When they offered him Georgie, he actually just turned it down. It really had nothing to do with money. And, you know, I got, you know, sources everywhere and I got my information. I'm not going to say who said it. And when Kobe came in, Kobe turned it down, you know what I mean, because of money and time and all that other stuff. And so those two guys legitimately turned Georgie down on that New York card.
Wow.
This time around, right, like I know for a fact now that Kobe is asking the UFC if we are done, like if we got Tyron Woodley done for UFC 249, right, and before he gets involved, right, well, we don't really have a lot of time. So I obviously was, hey, is he in? And they go, well, he's asking for the fight. Okay, well, we're in. We definitely want to fight him.
Right.
So the negotiation's taking place, the whole nine yards. So today, you know what I mean? I talked to Sean Shelby. I said, we're definitely in. We'll work it out. I'm not worried about it. We're definitely in. Get Kobe in. So that's really where I'm at. Like, that's kind of how this stuff goes. It's not how it goes back and forth. So for people to understand, you know what I mean? A lot of this stuff is not because anybody's scared, not because, you know, stuff that's, you know, you're looking for, you're looking at.
Right.
That's really where it's at. So Masvidal, in no way, shape, or form, has ever ducked a fight. No way, shape, or form will ever duck a fight.
Of course not.
You know what I mean?
Not.
It's just not. It's not what he does. So for anyone to even insinuate, you know, that he, you know, for Usman to come out and do what he's doing, it's. I mean, that's clout chasing, and that's what Usman has become very great at. You know, it's coming in there. I don't really care. I'll do this. I'll do that. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the videos that Georgie's dropping, but, you know, he's putting the heat on there to show him, like, well, buddy, you talk out of both sides of your mouth. You know, you love to run your mouth about. But you know what? That's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing because Usman is not a draw. And that's kind of one of our biggest problems in getting more money for this fight.
Right.
Is that the excuse is Usman is not a draw.
That's,
Georgie is the draw.
Yes.
So we have to be paid. But it's like, you know, Mark, we're really not going to make any money in this fight. And it's like, dude, that's not our fault, right?
Right,
so
right.
I like the fact that Usman is trying his fight. I like the fact he's clout chasing the way he is. I like the fact that he's, you know what I mean, out there doing what he's doing. Because
making buzz.
All it does, because all it does is just continue. Number one, gives us great material, right? Because him and his team just don't know how to put things together. So that's the first part. But he gives us great material. You know what I mean? Great material. And it helps build the fight. So it's phenomenal. Hopefully it gets to a point where the fight's so big where everybody can make money. Usman, Georgie, everyone. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, the thing about me, man, when it comes to this business, I want the fighters to make money. So I don't care how you guys get there. Just get there. And that's really kind of what, you know what I mean, I'm all about. So, I'm not mad about it at all, man. I'm actually excited to see what happens. And hopefully maybe the UFC will make this fight happen down the line and we'll go from there.
Wow. That was so much great stuff right there. Great material. I want to hit on a couple things you just said. One thing is pretty unprecedented is with Masvidal's 2019, with Till, the knee with Askren, Diaz BMF with The Rock putting the strap around him at the Madison Square Garden. Let's just be real with it. Him being the challenger to Usman, he's still the A side on this equation. This is something that...
But Usman knows that. Listen, Usman knows that.
Okay.
You know, everybody around him knows that.
Right.
The whole country of Nigeria knows that. I mean, there's I get Nigerians messaging me left and right all the time about how much they love Georgie. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what about your champion? They're like, who are you talking about? Like, they have no idea what's going on, right? So he's a huge... They know that. They have to know that. They know that. No one's stupid. The UFC's told them that. You know what I mean? They all know that. He's the guy. I mean, he had a great year. And I think that's part of what pisses Usman off. If you listen to his interviews, especially the one that he did with Joe Rogan, all he wanted to talk about was the hype. He's got all this hype. Who is this guy? He's a journeyman. He's like, yeah, dude, he's been doing it for close to 20 years. You know what I mean? You're a young buck in this game, and you've done very well for yourself. You can't take anything away from him. You know what I mean?
Right,
but,
right.
You know what I mean? Masvidal's a different cat, bro. Like, he's not backing down from you. You know what I mean? We know you're going to come in there trying to wrestle him down. We get you're going to try to grind them out. You know what I mean? But Masvidal knows it. It's not going to be that easy. God forbid you can't take him down. What happens then?
Mm.
Well, he didn't knock out Nate Diaz. Man, come on, man. Destroyed that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to stop it. Another thing you said there with Tyron Woodley. So you guys are 100% Tyron Woodley 18th. If the right opponent happens, the UFC calls you.
The UFC wants it and Kobe wants it on the 18th, he's in.
Wow. Okay.
They asked us about it. We told them we were in. We went back and forth on numbers. I talked to Woodley. I don't know if you saw his tweet. He said he's given us permission to make that deal happen. In other words, he's just basically said, you know what? I'm taking myself out of the equation. I'm not going to put any demands as far as numbers are concerned. You let them know whatever you think is necessary, and we'll go from there. So I basically called Sean, let Sean know, hey, here's where we're at, buddy. Let's make this fight happen. You know, you cool with that? So I'm cool with that. Let's see what's up. We'll go from there. That was really what it is. So, I mean, I'm not – that's why I also tweeted today, there's no guarantee that fight happens.
Right,
okay?
Right.
It's not because – and look, I don't want to come out here and lie and oh, because this guy's scared and all that. I'm not doing that, okay? If Kobe really wants that fight, Kobe can have that fight. Do I think Tyron and Kobe are going to fight down the line? Yes. Okay, people – this guy's scared of this guy and this guy's scared of that. Listen, people are not scared of each other like that, right? Everybody's angling for something. But in this case, Tyron's been offered Woodley – I'm sorry, Woodley's been offered Kobe, right? I think now 5 or 6 times. I know for a fact, because it was me that did the talking, we accepted every single time. There's never been a time where we ducked that fight or didn't want to take that fight. Not one time.
Wow.
They offered it to Kobe. He had a deviated septum or something to that effect. He did not want to take the fight because he had something wrong with his nose. UFC doctors told him, there's nothing wrong with you. Okay? There was nothing wrong with him. And everybody knew there was nothing wrong with him. But he didn't want to take that fight because he felt like he wasn't at 100%. So, again, but I respect it. If you're injured, you should not fight if you're not 100%.
Sure, sure.
If you're 90%, you should fight. He was at 95 or 98%. But in his head, he was messed up and he needed to fix it. So no big deal. Again, shout out to Kobe. Respect. You know what I mean? The guy went out there and fought a real tough fight against Usman. You know what I mean? He's brought it every time he's fought. He's the guy that, you know, he's trying his hardest to find his place in this world. And, you know, unfortunately, it comes across wrong sometimes. It is what it is. But that's another fight that if Tyron fights Kobe, I mean, dude, he starches him. So I don't blame anyone for not wanting to take some of these fights. I have a hard time believing that some of these dudes that are fighters, you know, really think that the other guy's afraid of them, that they're not going to fight. You know what I mean? Tyron's
right.
Not afraid of Kobe. I believe it's the other way around. But hey, I'll be proven wrong, right? The day he takes the fight. So right now it's out there. We've told the UFC, you know, we'll do whatever necessary to make this fight happen. So I put it in their court. Right? I put the ball in their court, and I'm sure the ball's in Kobe's court already as well.
Right, so. Right. Wow. That's huge as well, too. That could be just absolutely a mega fight right there, Woodley and Covington. More of a broad question I got for you, Malky. Guys, we're talking to Malky Kawa, CEO, FRM, First Round Management. We met you out there, me personally, at the Dean Tool Promotion Show last summer. What a great show that was. Then also at a couple of the Island Fights events. And my question is more, when should a young fighter, right? When should a fighter, amateur or even pro, when should they get to a management group? When should they try to reach out to an FRM? When should they try to reach out and get
right
the,
when they why would they get into the game? Why would anybody, you know, go into professional fighting, whether it's an amateur or as a pro, go into fighting without having somebody that's going to help them through their career? It makes no sense.
Right. So you're saying an amateur, whenever they're ready to turn pro, boom, that's the time they should get.
Yeah, listen, there's hundreds of managers out there.
Right, right.
There's probably 2 real respectable firms in the whole business, right? One of them definitely is us, you know, and then whoever else is number 2, you know, people put them there. And there's a bunch of guys that really suck. And so there's a level and a time for everything. I got guys in my office and all they do is work the regional scene. Their whole job is to build guys up, get them in the UFC. So if you're a guy and you've got certain skill sets and you're sitting there thinking, hey, man, I wonder if FRM would sign me. Well, we'd sign you. Now, are you going to get Abraham and Malky to work with you today right off the bat? Probably not. Depends. If you're Bo Nickel, you are, right? If you're Cody Law, definitely are, right? So there's certain guys that I'll take a genuine interest in and go from there. And it's not because I'm not interested in other guys. It's just that from a time perspective, you really honestly don't want me handling your stuff. I got a lot going on, right?
Right.
So if you got a regular fight in a regional promotion, then we'll get you the fights. We'll do all that. But to like sit down and break fights down and watch and see what's going on, man, I got guys in my office that are better than me. You know what I mean? Abraham, you know, in his last, he's been with me now for like, I don't know, 7 years or something like that. He's become a beast at this thing. I was listening to, you know, talk. We were on the phone with Dominic Cruz and we're talking and it's like, listening to my brother talk, he's amazing. Like, he's real good at this.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So yes, sir.
I've done a good job in building the company up and teaching the guys around me. Lou DeBono, to me, is, you know, the best manager in the business. And then the guys under him that are coming up, the guys, you know, Noah and we call him Chichi, but Jose in our office, Noah and Jose. If any of you guys out there get a phone call from a Noah or Jose, understand you got two of the best guys when it comes to finding fights and getting the job done. And that's the one thing that I've tried to do, is create a culture in my office where, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a, you know, amateur fighter or if you're a world champion. We're going to try to treat everybody the best we can, and treat everybody the same. Now, granted, you know, if you're a Masvidal, you're going to get, you know, obviously you're going to demand way more attention. But as an amateur or as a pro starting out, we'll help you get to where you got to get to. And places like Island Fight, probably the best promotion for that. So I send most of my guys to Island Fight.
Right.
The most consistent promotion in the state of Florida. They always have a fight every month. The matchmaking is phenomenal. You know what I mean? And I just feel like Dean knows what he's doing when it comes to promoting guys and getting them to the NFL. I mean, I'm sorry, to the UFC.
Maybe to the NFL, you know, soon.
Right. You know what I mean? But LFA is another one. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of good promotions out there that, you know, depending on what part, what region you're in, that will help you get to where you got to get to. You know, we got Titan Fighting down here in Miami. They're phenomenal. So there's different ones that, you know, throughout the country, that are great. I think fighters need to understand that you should not do this business without representation. I don't care what the promoters say. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what another fighter did. You need to listen to what I'm saying. I don't care if it's not me. If it's not me, no problem. Just get yourself representation that knows what they're doing, that understands what the word manager means when it comes to the fight game. And that's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, we're talking to Malky Cowher. Maybe one, two more questions. We're going to let him go. Super, super busy guy. For one, Malky, your social media game, bar none, maybe one of the funniest in the industry, especially your Instagram. You know, you're definitely keeping it lighthearted. You got the stuff in the mouth. You got the trash bag going on. Definitely your IG game is just hilarious. It keeps people going. So, talking about that and social media and MMA fighters going on podcasts and promoting themselves, how important, how vital is that for fighters, maybe regional, a little bit lower, and even the top end guys, Dominic Cruz and on, how important is it to keep their name up and busy and fun and make sure people are attracted to them? Paige Van Zandt's Instagram game is, you know, unmatched. She's making mega, mega money through IG. How important is that for fighters to deal with?
Well, I think as the world continues to go digital, you know, these are the things that you have to, you know, take into account. If you're trying to make money, you're trying to grow your audience, your brand, all that stuff, you need social media. So whether it's a podcast, whether it's interviews, whether it's your own stuff, you know what I mean? If you could be like Paige Van Zandt, that's great. It's important. You just need to do it. I mean, I case in point, right? The best follower to me is Derek Lewis. If you follow Derek Lewis, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's the funniest guy in this entire business when it comes to it. And you would never know that listening to an interview, unless he's like in that mode, right? So if he's not saying my balls are hot or something else, you listen to him talk, you know, well, let me say it this way. When he first started off, he was kind of more reserved, didn't really say much, right? He came out of his shell. I think he used social media for that. He used his time with Joe Rogan wisely, would say very, like, you know, catchy things. And he just did a lot of good things in his community. And he's a great fighter, right? You match all that up. You know, he might not be the guy that talks a lot of trash. He might not be a guy that calls people out on his Instagram, but he's got a million and change followers. He's the guy that's sitting there looking to always, you know, grow his reach, and does very well with it. And that's very important. Those are the things that I think are very necessary in a fighter's life. And he's a good case study.
Absolutely. Maybe I would say super necessary, just throwing that out there. That's a little plug there for Georgie. That's free. That's free. My main man, probably last thing, last question. So much. We appreciate your time. On your social media, you've been saying a lot about this real talk, a podcast, a show, maybe something with just you.
Podcast. Okay. Honest way.
So
honest way.
Malky Cowher, real talk. It's
real
happening.
Talk with Malky Cowher.
Okay. There you go. That's what we wanted to know. I've had a couple people hit us up through all the social media platforms here at Fight Banaz, and they were like, hey, is this happening? I'm like, hey, I'll ask the man himself. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's 1,000% happening. The problem is that I'm the guy that if you said to me, let's go join the, you know, the 40 and older softball club over there, right? The league over there,
yeah.
Right? I'm going to figure out, you know, if the best glove is Mizuno, Nike, you know, Rawlings, right. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
If the best cleats, You know what I mean? And I'm going to show up with every piece of equipment necessary to help me win, right? Even if I'm sitting on the bench, right? And right. I never sit on the bench, but you get what I'm saying? Like, that's me. So this podcast stuff, I have no idea what equipment to use, what not to use. So I've been going on, like, I went on Joe Rogan stuff, and I'm trying to, like, get the brand names of the stuff he uses. You know what I mean? I can't figure it out. I look at everyone's, right? I look at your stuff. Look at every, and I'm trying to figure out what you guys use and don't use and why. I've hit some guys up, like, hey, what's the right microphone? What's the right this? Computer, I get it, right? Everybody usually has a Mac or some sort of platform that right. they can, you know, upload the stuff. And but trying to figure out what microphone. I'm trying to build this studio in the office. I want to get some stuff. They don't. There's no one that builds studios. It's been such a frustrating thing for me. So since they shut Best Buy down, right, I haven't been able to go in there and take a look at it. There's a guitar center here that has podcasting stuff. They're closed. So I can do the curbside pickup thing, but I can't do it until I actually go in there, look at it, and say, okay, why this one compared to that one?
Right.
Have someone actually explain it to me. Then I'm going to go ahead. Then I'll buy it all, right, run back to the office, sit down, create my little studio, right, figure out how I'm going to do it. And then from there, buddy, it's on and popping. I mean, I'll probably come on 4 or 5 times a week just talking sports, life, general, whatever it is. I'm going to do it. People say, hey, Mark, talk about this. I'm going to give it raw. I'm going to tell the truth. Like, this is what it is. This is why. This is how this happened. This is why that happened. This is how this goes. This is how, you know, how's Dana White? This is exactly how he is. How's so-and-so? What's it like dealing with Mick? It's like this. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And it's just, and kind of, you know, going from there and just kind of really, like, putting the information out there. Because there's a lot of things that people don't know that go on behind the scenes that I think that might, you know, I can give a good perspective. And also, you know what I mean? Like, I can talk to fighters a little bit different than you. Like, you know what I mean? Are a guy that just asking certain questions because you don't know, right? But it's different when you can ask the questions because you do know. So I can say a question, say, hey, what do you think about this?
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? And it's like, they know exactly what I'm hitting at because I know the truth. So they can't. And that's why I want to name it Real Talk, because I'm not looking for the generic, oh, I'm looking forward to this and that, the other. You know, I'm looking forward to somebody coming on and be like, all right, look, here's the real reason why this and that and the other is going on. You know what I mean? So, and that's kind of what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring people on from all walks of life and kind of just, you know, talk and see what happens.
Unreal, man. We cannot wait for that. That's going to be Real Talk with Malky Kawa. And I think what I've heard throughout this whole thread of the podcast is that you, FRM, you guys are about quality, not quantity. Even if it's down to the podcast, getting the microphone, what you guys eat, who you guys represent, and what you want to do for your fighters. And I always say, everyone that talks to me, you know how many FRM fighters I have on the show, they always have gleaming things to say about you guys, how you guys are family, you guys aren't management. It's just a great part, and I appreciate your time. I appreciate everything you've done for me in my career so far. So, Malky, thank you so much, my man.
No, you're welcome. Absolutely. It's my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on, and you have a wonderful night. Stay safe in this quarantine stuff, and you know what I mean? I can't wait for this thing to clear so we can really get to work.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
That sounds good.
All right, my man.
Appreciate it, brother. Yes, sir. Bye. Bye.
Come on, guys. It don't get better than that. Malky Kawa just real talk. He's just giving the real talk. Woodley Covington, it's on the paper. Woodley has accepted it 5 times. Masvidal said yes to Usman. Guys, we got the source. We got the person that does the deals. We got the person who lines them up. That's just being real with you guys. What a great talk with Malky Kawa, FRM, First Round Management. So many names. There's so many guys that you maybe don't even realize that are FRM clients that will just blow your mind. Of course, we all know Derek Lewis and Greg Hardy's and Dominic Cruz and Yoel's and Georgie. And there's just so many. Tyron Woodley. Guys, it's an unbelievable team they've built there. Like he said, I love how Malky was giving so much credit to his other guys. Of course, his brother Abraham, who's been on the show before. But guys like Lou and everyone else down there with FRM, big ups. What a great show. Guys, that was podcast 199. Fight Bananas 199. We're getting it. Episode 200 and FRM, Jillian the Savage Robertson. We're getting her on UFC Fight Bananas 200. Malky Kawa, stay safe with you and your family. Thank you so much. Stay blessed. Continued success. And thanks for going bananas with us.